Amen. Well, good morning. Happy Palm Sunday to you. 1 Corinthians 5, 7 and 8. It's called the Passover Celebration. So let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for the opportunity to be here in church, worshiping you and learning more about you and then fellowshipping with each other, having a good time here. Thank you for America, our free country. Pray for our military and our missionaries, protecting us and spreading the good news around the world. Thank you, thank you, thank you for sending your son down on the cross for us. We appreciate this Easter season, this Sunday and next Sunday. And Lord, we just pause for a minute and remember and pray for the people on the back of our bulletin, which we don't have one this morning, but that's okay, you know. You know all the ones that need prayer, encouragement, hope, inspiration, direction, healing, whatever they need, Lord, you know. We just lay them at the foot of the cross. We ask you to take care of their needs. And Lord, help me this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So if you're taking notes, we've got a lot of good notes here, and I just want to get this to you. I know it's 11:45, so stay with me. I really believe the Lord has something for us this morning. And don't worry about the food, all you food people. Stay right here. Don't jump back there. The food will be just fine because I really don't want you to miss the message here. Amen? So excuse me if I offend you, but that's okay. You just keep coming back, right? Keep coming back. That's what I tell my clients all the time. I say real hard things to them sometimes. And I say, don't be offended. Just keep coming back. That's the secret, right? All right, First Corinthians 5, 7 through 8. 7 through 8. And I'm very excited about this message. I'm excited about every message, but this, you know, this whole Easter story and everything just gets all in me, just like I'm sure it gets into you. So if you're taking notes, here we go. 1 Corinthians 5, 7, and 8. It says, get rid of the old yeast, that you may be a new, everybody say new? A new unleavened batch, as you really are. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Therefore, everybody say therefore. Okay, Paul, every time he says that, he's basically saying, okay, now that I said this, this is what I want you to really focus on now, right here. It says, therefore, let us keep the festival, not with the old bread leavened with malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Everybody said amen?
Amen.
Amen. Paul is calling us today to a celebration. He really is. Passover is the celebration of who Jesus is. And as Glenn said earlier, what Jesus has done for us. Jesus was not a somber recluse. He wasn't walking around floating everywhere he went. He wasn't a high, mighty, pious, religious, holier than thou person in his man self walking around. If look at him at the wedding in Cana. This is where, remember, he performed his first miracle. Jesus showed emotions. As you read through here, pay attention. He showed emotions. He was happy at times. He would laugh at times. He would get frustrated at times. He would get mad and angry at times. He would get sad at times. Things actually moved him to tears at times. But Jesus had love. He had emotions. Jesus enjoyed life. And those self-righteous Pharisees they couldn't stand it. Those were the ones that were walking around high and mighty and big religious looking. Now, some of our best witnessing. Before this, we talked a lot about witnessing and sharing your story, sharing the good news. Some of our best witnessing for Christ comes when we share about God's love, when we share about the joy, when we share about the gladness and the goodness of God, when we share about how we have peace of mind, knowing, like last week we talked about, knowing that we're going to heaven, that we win this thing in the end because of everything that we're going to be talking about today and next week. Amen? God wants us to enjoy life with the freedom that He's given us. He's given us the freedom over sin and death. Nothing else really matters. Now let me be straight and blunt with you this morning. Honestly, I've talked to thousands of people about Christ, and I'm not bragging. God knows, He knows the deal. Thousands of people. Most lost people are not that interested in heaven or hell. They're just not. They're more interested in how to survive until next Monday. I'm being honest with you. So if we show up dressed like a fancy preacher or a funeral director, they're not going to listen. They could care less. That's not what they're interested in. They'll say no thanks to whatever you may be offering. Now, Christians, I believe, are called to celebrate the Passover. Now, you may be saying, well, isn't that a Jewish thing? Yes. But let's look a little bit deeper into this. Did you know that Passover and Easter go hand in hand, kind of like peas and carrots? They do. They do. And it's not just because they're linked on the calendar. You see, Passover starts when? Okay, Wednesday. Passover starts on Wednesday and goes till the following Thursday. Technically 7 days, but most Jewish folks celebrate 8 days now. And that's really because of a calendar thing. I don't want to get involved in that. We'll talk about that. There's two things I'll share with you about Easter. Let's see if I can remember this. I told myself I was going to write it down, but I didn't. Here we go. You might know this, but Easter, it seems like it always starts at a different time. Well, here, you might know this already, but here we go. Easter always starts, or Easter is always the first full moon after the Sunday, after the first day of spring. Does that make sense? So you got the first day of spring, okay, and then first day of spring, when the first moon, full moon comes, then it's the next Sunday. Did I get that right? Clear as mud. That's what the old timers would say, you know. And then I've had some folks ask me, actually last week, you know, what's up with the 3 days Jesus in the grave didn't do the math, you know. It's okay, Friday, 24 hours, 24 hours, 24 hours really didn't come up on Sunday. Actually, 24 hours comes up on Monday. Well, the reason for that, again, is the calendar. Back in the day, a long time ago, they wasn't really they didn't have watches and time and all that. They didn't focus more on the 24 hour. It was more a day. A day was a day. Not necessarily 24 hours as we understand it. So you had Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So it was 3 days. Again, clear as mud, right? But that's how it works. I found that stuff kind of interesting. Sorry if I'm boring you with that. Now you know, like Paul Harvey says, the rest of the story. Have you ever heard of Christians celebrating Passover? Paul did. Our scripture here for today, Paul is talking about using leavened dough to represent sin, which is the yeast. Paul says that Christians, he said, let's continue the Passover feast. Okay? Seder. It's like the first meal of the Jewish folks. Now, we are adopted brethren, right? So I was thinking Wednesday night, y'all want to bring something? You guys that come on Wednesday night, I'll bring the unleavened bread. I'll bring a little cookies of unleavened bread Wednesday night. Anybody want to bring some boiled eggs? Anybody want to bring some nuts and raisins and wine? Maybe not real wine, but anybody want to bring some bitter herbs? Horseradish. You could bring some horseradish. Some lamb bone. Sounding great, isn't it? So anyway, so the Passover. It's a celebration basically for both Christians and Jews. And Paul's really encouraging us to do this. So here we go. The Jews were slaves in Egypt, and I'm not telling you anything new here, but God said that you are my chosen people. See, we are his chosen generation. And he wanted to bring his people out of Egypt, out of that bondage. So Pharaoh refused to release God's people. A series of plagues were released on Egypt. Pharaoh wouldn't listen. I know I'm telling you the whole story. Nothing worked until God sent the final plague, the death angel. So basically the firstborn in every family would be slain unless the blood of a lamb was put upon the doorposts. Listen closely, as all this ties in to where we're at right now. God said to him, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Passover is all wrapped up in the perfect little lamb. The Old Testament is a book of prophecy. It says that someone is coming. And we all know is referring to Jesus. In Exodus, it goes on, God's telling Moses and Aaron to tell the Israelites that something new is coming. There's going to be a brand new beginning. The lamb each Jewish household was to prepare, foretold of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. The lamb's blood upon Jewish doors saved God's people from the death angel and secured their freedom from Egypt. So stay with me. I'm building on this. The same blood depicted our salvation through Jesus' death on the cross. Christians, born again, blood-washed Christians, has every right and every reason to celebrate Passover. Don't we? We do. Now listen closely. Back in those days, the priests would examine the lambs in the temple to make certain that they were spotless. On that Passover day, the father of each home around 3 o'clock, all this is no coincidence, around 3 o'clock was to take the lamb, kill it, and catch its blood in a basin. The blood then was painted across the top and the sides of each door. God was reminding, he was teaching his people so long ago a fundamental truth of God's word, and here it is. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Why? Because there's life in the blood. There's death and sin. There must be atonement for sin. The atonement requires the taking of innocent life. Now, this is what we're all talking about at Easter. This is what it's all about. It's not about Easter bunny and Easter eggs, which I'm all cool with eggs. You know, that's fun. The lamb had to be slain, and then his blood was painted on the doorpost of the homes of the entranceway. Listen, I'm going to keep telling the story. Then everyone in the household was to come inside. Everybody say inside. They had to come inside and remain there all night while the death angel passed through the land. Everyone who entered the safety of the house had to enter through and under the blood of the Lamb. Thank you, Jesus. God said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. See this with your spiritual eyes this morning. Over roughly a quarter of a million Jewish homes sacrificed spotless lambs. And then they ate it. They roasted the lamb, and as they did, they were becoming no longer slaves, but one people, one nation, fellowshipping under the lamb. Fellowshipping over the lamb. Fellowshipping. They were to eat it all, leaving no leftovers. Then everyone in the household was to come inside and remain there. As the Passover meal ended, this lamb gave them strength and power and nourishment. When we allow Jesus Christ, when we take Him into our lives, we have to take Him all. As Lord, as Master, as Moderator, and as Messiah. You see, when they left Egypt, the Lamb was inside of them, and He walked out with them. Colossians 1:27. Colossians 1:27 says, to them, God has chosen to make known a mystery to the Gentiles, the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Jeremiah the prophet, let's look at him for a minute. He looked backward to Passover and forward to Calvary. Let me read it. Here it goes. Jeremiah says, the day is coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant. This is what we're talking about. This is the whole Easter story. This new covenant. He said, I'll make a new covenant with the people of Israel and Judah. This covenant will not be like the one I made with their ancestors when I took them by hand and brought them out of Egypt. They broke that covenant. Though I loved them, as a husband loves his wife, says the Lord. Verse 33 says, But this, right here, this is the new covenant I will make with the people of Israel. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my instructions deep within them. Deep within them. And I will write them on the hearts. See, I'll write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Amen. Unlike the Passover, God's law will be written in our hearts and on our minds. Holy Spirit will live within us. We'll have intimate knowledge of God, and He will forgive our sins forever. You see, Jeremiah foretells a new covenant with Israel. A new lamb. One lamb is coming. John the Baptist said, when he saw Jesus, y'all know what he said? He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." 1 Peter 1:18-19 says, "For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors." Listen to the details of that. I'm going to read it again. "For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. And it was not paid with mere gold or silver, which loses its value. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God." This is what Easter is all about, guys. I know it's Passover Day, but this is what Easter is all about. Now, on Palm Sunday, which is what we're celebrating today, on Palm Sunday, when Jesus entered Jerusalem on a donkey, he came down the Mount of Olives, past the Kidron Valley, then into Jerusalem, then the Temple Mount. And we all know the story. As God's Lamb entered the city, the people cried, "Hosanna! Hosanna!" Listen closely. At that same moment, priests were bringing those Passover lambs from the field of Bethlehem through the sheep gate, where they would be examined to detect they had any flaws. The Sadducees, the Pharisees, and Pilate, and the Herodians, Pilate, they all examined Jesus. As Pilate examined God's perfect Lamb, he admitted to him. He said, "I find no fault with him." And then he goes on to say, "And neither do you." I can see those Sadducees and Pharisees and all those religious folks just waiting for Pilate to give them a tiny little excuse that he finds fault in Christ. And he said, "No, I don't find fault. He's spotless." And then he sticks it right in their face and says, "And neither do you." Jesus was and is the perfect spotless Lamb, worthy to be slain for the sins of the world. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, everybody said whosoever, whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. The last Passover meal Jesus ate with His disciples became the last of the old Passover. The beginning of the new. The beginning of the new. During supper, He took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. And you, and you, and you, and you. Do this in remembrance of me." Jeremiah said a new covenant, didn't he? Jeremiah said a new covenant. It's coming. And when Jesus arrived on Christmas Day and lived a sinless life, royal blood flowing through His veins, died on that old rugged cross, and sacrificed for us, and then God raised Him from the dead on the third day, He closed the loop. He closed the loop. The Bible says that Jesus went on and says He took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you." and you and you and you and you. Amen. There's no way to be saved apart from the blood of Jesus Christ, the power of his resurrection. Now, we don't put blood on the doorsteps anymore. It's like Jeremiah said, now he's written it on our hearts. We're saved by faith through God's grace. Faith in what or whom? Jesus Christ, the perfect Lamb, slain. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Now listen closely. I'm closing right now. Listen closely. At 3 p.m., here we go again. At 3 p.m. on Friday, when Jesus was on that cross, as the priests behind the scenes were taking those perfect Passover lambs, drawing a knife across their throats, right at that time, before they sacrificed those little lambs, God's perfect Lamb bowed his head on the cross. He said, it is finished. It is finished. Heaven said, it's paid in full. It is done. Priests, you can go home now. Passover shepherds, we don't need you anymore. Set your lambs free. God's perfect Lamb. He has done it all. See, when we come to the Lord's Supper, we don't come to mourn a corpse, but to hail the conqueror. So I'm calling you this morning to celebrate Passover. We all have reason to celebrate Passover. So this morning, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, I'd love to pray with you. Jesus can become your Passover this morning. Your sins can be washed away. Right now, the blood can be applied to your heart, and God's angel of judgment will never, never visit your house if you'll receive him. Let's pray. Father God, we love you. Well, we just thank you. Thank you so much for loving us. Yet while we were sinners, right in the middle of our messed up lives, you loved us. You loved us right where we're at. And you sent your Son down a cross. Be raised from that grave. Or if there's one here this morning that's never accepted Jesus, maybe they've been playing church all their life. Maybe they've been riding on the coattails of church membership or mom and dad's religion. Or, well, we're not talking about any of that right now. If you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, I ask you to come down here to this altar. And I'd be glad to pray with you. Maybe you're here this morning. You'd like to just sit right there in your seat. You'd like to invite Christ into your heart. Doesn't matter how young you are or how old you are. You say this prayer as every head is bowed and the eyes is closed. You say this prayer with me and the Bible says that you will be saved. Just pray this to yourself. God, the best way I know how, I give you my life. I believe that Jesus died on a cross for me. And he was raised from the grave for me. I repent of my sins. I ask you to help me live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.